You want a beer to go with the pizza? Stepping around the coffee table and sitting primly at one end of the sofa, April replied,
Do you have anything non-alcoholic?
He rushed to the kitchen and opened the nearly empty refrigerator. I got some frozen lemonade. Take me a minute to make it. April said,
That's all right. I'll have a beer.
He grabbed two Michelobes from the fridge, then took down two tumblers from the cabinet over the sink. He brought them to the coffee table, where April had already opened the pizza carton.
It isn't very hot, she said apologetically.
That's okay. Kinski poured her beer for her, his hand trembling slightly. April turned to him.
Len, are you really leaving?
Yep.
But why?
Dan, I've got to, he said. I've just got to. April looked squarely into his eyes.
What are you afraid of, Len?
Her gold-flecked eyes were the most beautiful he'd ever seen, Kinski thought.
If only...
He heard himself ask in a near whisper,
April, would you come with me? Wherever you want to go, the two of us. What kind of trouble are you in, Len?
He nearly dropped his beer.
Trouble? What makes you think that I'm in trouble? You're not mad at Dan. You're scared, I can see that. I can get Dan to help you. He's not angry at you.
She sees right through me, Kinski thought. I've just got to get away from here, he mumbled. April reached out and touched his arm.
Len, please, let me help.
Shaking his head, You don't want to get involved in this, believe me.
Len, I am involved in this. So is Dan. So is everybody in the company.
She's not doing this for me, Kinski realized. She doesn't care about me. She's working for Dan, for the fucking company. He took a swig of beer from the bottle, then put it down beside the untouched pizza.
You'd better go home, babe. Or back to the office, or wherever. Any place but here. Len, I want to help you, April repeated.
Jumping to his feet, Kinski shouted, Get out! Get out while you can!
But Len...
The front door burst open, the security chain splintering from its mounting on the wall. Roberto pushed into the living room, big-shouldered, scowling, menacing. April shot to her feet, shocked, thoroughly frightened. Kinski was stunned.
You're not supposed to be here until 8!
His voice sounded squeaky, terrified, even in his own ears.
I got here early, Roberto said, kicking the door closed behind him.
He glanced through the open door of the bedroom and saw Kinski's travel bags on the bed.
Looks like a good thing I did.
Struggling to keep from shaking, Kinski turned to April and said as evenly as he could,
You better go now, kid. I need to talk to him in private.
Before April could make a move, though, Roberto said,
No, you don't have to go, wappa. Sit down.
April looked at Kinski.
Sit down or I knock you down. Both of you.
April sat. So did Kinski, looking miserable, ashamed, and almost petrified with fright. Matagorda Island, Texas. Everyone in the blockhouse stood up and cheered when they heard Van Buren's radio voice announce,
She's on the runway. Mission completed.
Everyone except Passot and his two gray-suited FAA superiors, although Dan thought he saw a trace of a smile on Passot's face. Turning from the blank wall screen toward the three FAA men with a big, satisfied grin, Dan said, See?
No problems.
Passot said,
Score one for globalization, I suppose. But how do you propose to get your space plane back from Caracas?
By boat, Dan said cheerfully. I've already got a freighter under contract for the job. The bird should be back here in a week, 10 days at most. The launch crew was shutting down their consoles, heading for the big steel hatch out into the Texas sunshine.
You think you've pulled one over on us, do you?
Growled Tweedledum as the technicians filed past him. With an innocent hike of his brows, Dan replied,
No, not at all. I think I've managed to test my bird without breaking any of your regulations.
You certainly swivel-hipped your way around the regulations, accused Tweedledee.
I proved my theory, said Dan, much more seriously.
Your theory?
The crash of our O-1 bird wasn't an accident. It was sabotaged.
Sabotaged? By who?
I'm hoping the FBI can figure that out, said Dan, heading for the blockhouse door.
In the meantime, I'm going to apply for permission to resume the flight tests of the space plane with a pilot aboard.
You won't get permission, I guarantee it, Tweedledum snapped, following Dan outside into the warm sunlight.
There's nothing wrong with the bird, Dan insisted. There's no flaw in the design, and there aren't any flaws in the manufacturing. The O-1 bird was sabotaged, pure and simple.
Both Tweedledum and Tweedledee shook their heads in unison like two metronomes.
Passo stepped between them.
It's quite true that we haven't found any flaws in the design or the construction of the vehicle, except for the valve in the forward attitude control thruster.
Which could only have been popped open by a spurious command signal, Dan interrupted. Which is sabotage, nothing else.
For the first time, the two FAA men looked doubtful. Tweedledee asked his compatriot,
Do you think?
Hard to prove, said Tweedledum. Impossible to prove, more likely.
Dan let it go at that, satisfied that he had at least planted a seed of doubt in their minds.
Doubt is the beginning of wisdom, he told himself.
Dan went back to Hangar A while Passo led his two superiors off to the engineering building. As he entered his outer office, Dan saw with some annoyance that April still wasn't at her desk. Where the hell is she? He grumbled inwardly. She ought to be on the job, or at least let me know she won't be in. When he stepped into his private office, though, he saw another woman sitting in front of his desk, a welcoming smile on her heart-shaped face.
Remember me? Asked Vicky Lee. I'm working for Aviation Week now, thanks to you.
April had spent a sleepless, frightening night. She sat on the sofa in Kinski's apartment, watching Roberto the way a trapped animal watches a stalking predator. Every time Roberto looked her way, she shuddered inwardly. The man's eyes were rimmed with red, and April could see the rage that boiled just beneath his surface. He was like a powder keg, a bomb waiting to be triggered. She could feel the danger radiating from every move of his big muscular body. Kinski sat on the sofa beside her, petrified, silent, unmoving, while Roberto tried time and again to put through a call on his cell phone, to no avail. At one point he made a connection, only to frown with baffled frustration and yell into the phone,
What you mean he ain't available? You make him available, see? You tell him I got a situation here, and I want to know what he wants me to do.
He listened, his scowl going darker, then shouted,
Hey, slow down, and speak English, huh? I can't understand when you jabber like that.
Another few moments of listening. Then he switched the phone to his other ear and said impatiently,
Well, you tell him to call me and damn quick, too. I got two people here, and I gotta know what to do with them.
He flicked off the phone, muttering in Spanish, which gave April an idea.
I've got to go to the bathroom, she said, getting to her feet.
Roberto leered at her.
Okay. I go with you. Give you a hand, huh?
As coldly as she could, April said,
Certainly not.
And she headed for the bathroom, leaving Kinski sitting inertly on the sofa. Roberto followed a pace behind her. Her heart pounding, April closed the door firmly in his grinning face and turned the knob to lock it.
Okay, his voice came through the thin door. I give you some privacy. I'll wait right here.
Damn, April thought, pulling her cell phone from her purse. If I try to call Kelly, he'll hear me and break in and stop me.
The last thing she wanted was to give this big bruiser an excuse for violence. She knew where that would end. She flushed the toilet, then ran water in the sink. Letting the faucet run, April pecked out Kelly's cell phone number and held her breath. One ring. Two.
Come on, April begged silently. Answer the phone, Kelly. Eamon's here, Kelly's voice said.
Almost fainting with relief, April whispered,
Listen, don't talk.
Then, leaving the phone on but blanking its little display screen, she slipped it back into her purse. She had no way of knowing how much the FBI agent would be able to hear, or how far from Lamar she had already driven, but she couldn't think of anything else to do. She turned off the faucet and unlocked the bathroom door. Roberto yanked it open, surprising her so badly that she flinched away and almost tripped over the toilet.
You wash your hands? He said, grinning. In the restaurants, they always tell us to wash our hands.
April had to squeeze past him to get back into the living room. Kinski was still sitting as he had been. He hadn't seemed to move, hadn't seemed even to breathe.
Why are you holding us here? April